The Country Hour on ABC Radio Queensland.
It's been described as a creeping cancer, the green drought, a thing that keeps many graziers up at night, and there's still no answer on what's causing pasture dieback. It's found from as far north as the Tablelands, just inland of Cairns, to the southern border, and in all tropical and subtropical sown grasses, and even some natives. Now, maybe you've had some experience with pasture dieback, and if you have, I'd love you to share your story. You can give me a call on 1300 360 612 or text me on 0487 993 222. At a field day near Gaynder this week, graziers were told that research efforts are being dramatically ramped up in a bid to find a cause and hopefully a cure. But for some, that's not a lot of time left. Max Richardson farms about 100 hectares at Karoi in the Noosa hinterland, and he told Callie Buchanan the unexplained dieback has taken the lot.
Well, we've lost 100% of the pastures at the moment. There's not a thing left. Christmas time, we noticed it spreading rapidly across the farm, and by the third week of January, it was all dead.
What's that meant for your operation, to lose all of your pasture to this silent killer?
Well, we had about 70 breeders, and now we're down to approximately 30. And selling, we've got to keep selling until, we're trying to keep about half a dozen to a dozen of our best cows.
How do you feed them?
Well, they're running on weeds at the moment. They're only eating weeds.
And when you look out at your farm, I mean, what's going through your mind?
Heartbroken, because you don't know which way to go. If there was a remedy, if there was a resistant grass or something like that, you'd have an answer, you'd just go and plant that grass. But what do you do? We're on limited income because we've had to sell our cattle, so we've only really got one chance of getting it right. If we stuff it up, we are in big trouble. We had that farm looking very nice. There was no weeds on it. I was very proud of myself. Now you wouldn't give two bob for it.
And I guess too that lowering of the land value really puts you in a very difficult position in terms of being able to finance any recovery.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
So what's the plan? Is there a plan?
At the moment, we're heading down the path of legumes. We're planning on planting lab or something like that in the spring, if we get a decent spring, and run steers on it to try and get a bit of an income. And trying to buy time, waiting on seeing if we can get an answer to what grass to plant. If I didn't work off the farm, I'd be starving, because I've got a contracting business. That's the only thing that's keeping us going.
Yeah, Ivan Nags. I'm a grazier stud breeder east of Gympie at Noosa Vale, but I also chair the Agforce Weeds and Ag Vet Committee, and now we're doing this thing to die back.
Ivan, how common are stories like Max's?
It's very common, and it's widespread on the coast. I've visited, 20-some properties of members of Agforce, and it varies how it starts, and it's wiping almost all pastures. I've had one dairy farmer contact me. He milks 350 on cows. He reckons he'll be gone by August at the rate it's going now.
This is going to take some time for there to be, first of all, identifying a culprit and then a method for counteracting that. Do we have that time?
I don't think we do. I think the way this is spreading, especially on coastal areas, I don't think we do. It's like a creeping cancer.
Stuart Buck, Senior Pasture Agronomist with DAF.
Just how big a challenge is finding a cause for dieback presenting for researchers?
Oh, extremely challenging, to be honest. The scale of it, from an area point of view, it's extensive. We're sort of noticing or hearing reports from Mareeba in the north of Queensland right through to Brisbane in the south. So if it was affecting one grass type in one area, we could probably much easier pinpoint what the cause is. But because we sort of go to one place and we see one pasture is affected, you go down the road, a different pasture is affected. And so there's this inconsistencies of symptoms that we're seeing. I mean, the consistent part is that we are seeing patches of dead grass, but not the same grass is affected everywhere. But collectively across the whole state, pretty much every single sown grass pasture you can name, tropical grass pasture you can name, and subtropical pasture is affected, unfortunately.
How do you start?
It's difficult. And I mean, I considered research efforts required across a large area to really, I suppose, benchmark what exactly are we seeing and to actually characterise this condition. So it just, I suppose, highlights the complexity, the unknowns about this condition. It's been around for some time. There's been some work in the past, some research work in the past, which was provided inconclusive results, unfortunately. Therefore, I suspect that it will take some time to actually find the diagnosis. And then once we know what's causing it, we can then, in my opinion, more accurately go and do some work, some research work, to identify what can a producer practically do about that issue.
At the moment, there is no management plan, but how can graziers assist in finding a solution?
They can probably be engaged with research bodies doing some work from that point of view, and I suppose liaise and communicate with us in MLA. But I think on their own properties, if they've got pastures or paddocks that are largely affected, you know, if most of the paddock is affected by dieback and not getting much production, and they can get machinery across that paddock, which obviously not all paddocks you can do that, but if you can get machinery across it, maybe the opportunity might be to renovate that pasture, either burn it or cultivate what's remaining and remove what's there, and then basically from there replant a forage of some sort. And I'm suggesting that maybe replant a legume, either annual or perennial legume, depending on the soil type and where they are, and use this as opportunity to get more legumes and more diversity in your pasture, having more legumes there, and plant a legume as a pure crop, basically, no grass, because grasses are what's affected by this condition. So the concept is, again, it's unproven, but in 12 months' time or 18 months' time, we do want to have a grass legume pasture long term. There's no argument against that, but I think short-term-wise, remove the grass, plant a different plant type being a legume, get it well-established, then put some grass in later on. Hopefully by that time we'll have some better clues as to what's causing it and maybe some better clues as to what species of grass should be sown back in there.
There is some extensive research happening at the moment across a multidisciplinary areas to try and get to the bottom of this, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. MLA primarily have done a fair bit of work, research work and diagnostic work, which started, I believe, end of last year. Within our own organisation, within DAF, we've done some screening of affected pastures and so forth to look at pathogens and that sort of stuff. We've just started a detailed research trial here at Bryan Pastures as well, so that will be going for the next, hopefully, 3 or 4 or 5 years if we can get funding for that period of time. There are some things that are underway. Unfortunately, they've only started recently, and again, they will take some time to have some answers. But we've collectively have started, and hopefully we can get some answers as soon as we can.
DAF Senior Pasture Agronomist Stuart Buck ending that report by Callie Buchanan.